الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين الذي خلق الافلاك والارضين والصلاه والسلام على سيد الانبياء والمرسلين وعلى اله الطيبين واصحابه اجمعين اما بعد فاعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم سبحان الذي اسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام الى المسجد الاقصى صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الامين الكريم ایک مرتبہ عشق و محبت کے ساتھ درود شریف کا نذرانہ پیش کرے اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد معدن الجود والكرم ومنبع العلم والحلم والحكم وعلى اله وصحبه وبارك وسلم Yesterday, we heard about the troubles and hardship that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam faced from the people of Makkah, from the people of Taif, and the sorrow that had come upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam through the death of Abu Talib, and then the demise of Sayyida Umm al-Mu'mineen Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. In this time of sadness, when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself said that this is the Aamul Huzn, the year of sorrow, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is given a gift by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which once Sayyiduna Musa alayhi salam requested from Allah. Sayyiduna Musa alayhi salam, he requested to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I wish to see you. And it is mentioned in the Quran, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لَن تَرَانِي, you will not be able to see me. I have not given you them eyes with which you would be able to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that come unto this mountain, and if this mountain remains mustaqar, then you will see me. But when Sayyiduna Musa alayhi salam went onto the mountain, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just showed Sayyiduna Musa alayhi salam a glimpse of his nur, the top part of the mountain burst and Sayyiduna Musa alayhi salam fell down and he fainted. And this is mentioned in the Quran. So Sayyiduna Musa alayhi salam just saw the glimpse of the light of the nur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but could not see the Zat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now when Sayyiduna Musa alayhi salam had seen this jalwa, this glimpse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's nur, his eyes became so sharp and so powerful that if anybody looked into the eye of Sayyiduna Musa alayhi salam, that person would become blind. His eye would not work anymore. So Sayyiduna Musa alayhi salam used to keep his gaze low and not look into anybody's eyes in order to protect them. Or he used to keep his eyes covered. Now once his wife Sayyida Safura radiallahu anha, she requested that I also want to see this nur, this glimpse of the nur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your eyes. Sayyiduna Musa alayhi salam many a times had already told Sayyida Safura that you will not be able to look into my eyes. It will make you blind. So one time came where Sayyida Safura radiallahu anha could not bear it anymore. She just wanted to see the nur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the eyes of Sayyiduna Musa. So she said that what I will do is I will cover one eye and I will look into your eyes with one eye. So if one eye becomes blind, at least I will have another eye to look with. So Sayyiduna Musa alayhi salam agrees. So she covers one eye, and then Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam looks into her eye. As soon as she looks into the eye of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, this eye bursts and she becomes blind from the right eye. But because she received so much pleasure and so much joy in looking into the eyes of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, she quickly opened this eye and she looked with the left eye. Now this eye became blind. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala graced her and gave light back into this eye. So then she looked with the right eye again. And then that burst and Allah cured this one. Then she looked with this one. And this continued to happen for a while until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, based on her pleasure and her yearning to see the nur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, gave so much power in the eyes of Sayyida Safura radiallahu anha that both her eyes were cured and she could look directly into the eyes of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. And not only Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, now Sayyida Safura radiallahu anha, through the wasila of the eyes of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, could now see ants really far away distant, in a far distant, where that ants are walking on that road. Even she could see. We already know Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam could, because it's mentioned in the Quran. But now Sayyida Safura radiallahu anha's eyes became so strong that now she could even see far distance. Now this was the shan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's glimpse, the glimpse of the nur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam that this is all you can see, you cannot see me, you cannot do the ru'yat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this world. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has called Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to show to all the anbiya kiram and the people who came before and those who will come after, that none has been given this gift of ru'yatullahi ta'ala, but now I will give my Habib Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the ru'yah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam, after preparing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, takes the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the burraq. Now this burraq, you've already probably heard, is brought from Jannah. And the speed of the burraq is such that one step of the burraq is as far as the sight can see. So when we walk or animals walk, their steps are quite small compared to that. But the burraq's one step would be the distance the eye could see. That was one step. So that is how fast the burraq used to go. With that we can imagine the blessed heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how strong it was. Because the Quran was being revealed on that heart, that qalb, al-qalbul mubarak of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Quran was being revealed on that. So you can imagine how strong and powerful that heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was. That when somebody travels at such speed, his heart usually stops. If a person was to be thrown from a really high tower like the Lotus Tower, he would die before he reaches the ground because he wouldn't be able to breathe. The heart stops because it cannot handle that speed of falling or moving. If somebody goes on a roller coaster, his heart stops until it slows down. He can't breathe, and if it carries on for a long period, then the person would die. That's what would happen. But the qalb-e mubarak of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was so strong and powerful that it did not affect the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But actually after Mi'raj, his heart, his blessed heart became stronger. Now when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam reached Masjid al-Aqsa, and now he has been comforted by Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam, and he has been shown what is to be happened, what's to happen next. Hijrat is going to happen. Jang-e Badr is going to happen. Hunayn is going to happen. Khandaq is going to happen. All these things are going to happen. You're going to return back to Makkah as a Fatih. All of this is informed to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on this night of Mi'raj. Now I'd like to mention one point here, just for the knowledge of you all people. That many a times people make objections that if Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had ilme ma kana wa ma yakun, he knew everything from before and after, he had the ilm ghaib of all things, then why is it that he never knew certain things in his life? Or why did he do certain things in his life which clearly contradict him having that knowledge? The simple answer to that is we the Ahlus Sunnati wal Jama'ah believe that after the Nuzul-e Wahy, after the final verse of the Quran was revealed, from that time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ilme ma kana wa ma yakun, that which had happened and that which will happen. All knowledge was given to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after the whole Quran was revealed. So if anybody brings an incident or a hadith before that, whilst the Quran was being revealed, it does not challenge the belief of Ahlus Sunnati wal Jama'ah. Because we accept that there were times whereby Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept things hidden from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But after the final wahi was revealed, at that time Allah gave kul ilmi ghaib to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So there were many times there were things which were not apparent upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Many a times they were apparent, but the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's hikmah, his wisdom, was that he let things happen the way they are happening, because there is better in that which is happening. Now the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reaches Masjid al-Aqsa, and Sayyiduna Jibreel alayhi salam takes the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam into Masjid al-Aqsa. In Masjid al-Aqsa, all the Anbiya Kiram and Rusul al-Izam from the past are present. They are all present there in the masjid to greet and say marhaba to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So you can imagine that this Amul Huzn, this year of sadness, became changed into so much happiness and joy to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that here he was meeting with all the Anbiya Kiram. He got to meet with Sayyiduna Ibrahim alayhi salam. They spoke with each other. They delivered lectures in that night. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood up and gave a final lecture. Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also led namaz for all the Anbiya Kiram, where all of the Anbiya Kiram performed salah behind Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that is why Allah Hazrat Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala says ke namaz e aqsa mein tha yahi sir aya ho manae awwal akhir. So he says Allah Hazrat ke namaz e aqsa, why was the salah performed in Masjid e aqsa with all the anbiya kiram? So Allah Hazrat says ke namaz e aqsa mein tha yahi sir aya ho manae awwal akhir ke dast basta hai piche hazir jo saltanat aage kar gaye the. To show that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is awwal, he is at the front leading the jamaah, yet he came at the end of all of the other prophets and messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to show that he is the awwal and he is the akhir. Now the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this was Isra. Isra is mentioned in the Quran ke subhanalladhi asra bi abdihi laylan min al-masjid al-haram ila al-masjid al-aqsa. This Isra was the traveling of the night that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on through Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam till Masjid al-Aqsa. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows amazement in it. He says subhanallah, and Allah uses subhanallah in the Quran when something astonishing and something is a miracle which is beyond the understanding of us people, to show that this is something amazing. Now if this happened not with the body of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with his physical body, then there would be nothing astonishing and amazing about it, because everybody goes to all sorts of different places in their dreams. And that's why in Tafsirat Ahmadiyya, the author, he writes, Sayyiduna al-Imam Mulla Jeevan radiallahu anhu, he writes ke as-sahihu annahu fil yaqiza, that the correct opinion is that all this happened in awakening, not in the sleep. It happened in awakening, bi jasadihi ma'aruhihi, with his blessed physical body and his soul and his ruh. Because in the Quran Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said asra bi abdihi. And abd, the word abd is not ruh. It doesn't say bi ruhihi, it says bi abdihi. And abd is only when the ruh and jasad are both made into a compound, that becomes abd. So the Quran is clearly saying that this happened in awakening with the physical body of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Sayyidina Mullah Jeevan radiallahu anhu then says ke man qala bi ruhihi faqat aw fi an-nawmi faqat fa mubtadi'un dallun fasiq. that person who says that it only happened in the dream of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, or it happened with his soul without his physical body, then that person is misguided. He is one who misguides others, and he is a transgressor. That is against the Ahlus Sunnati wal Jama'ah. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his physical body with his ruh is present in Masjid al-Aqsa with Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam, and now the Uruj happens. Uruj means leaving the earth and going into the skies. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was created by Nur, and he was Bashar. And sometimes the Nur was overwhelming and sometimes the Bashariyah was overwhelming. And this was the time when the Nur of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam became overwhelming. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam into the skies. Now the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam visited Jannah, and he saw what was there for the believers in Jannah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was shown the houses of his sahaba kiram. Okay, this is where Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, this is where he will be in Jannah. This is where your wife Sayyida Khadija will be in Jannah. And all sorts were shown to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is taken into Jahannam, into the fire of hell, to show that look what is happening into the fire of hell. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sees how people will be punished in the fire of hell. And there's one narration about the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whereby he says that I saw that in the fire of hell, majority of them were women. Majority of them were women because of being disrespectful and disobedient to their husbands. No matter how much good their husband does to them, they will be grateful. But as soon as the husband makes one mistake, she forgets all the good that the husband has done. And then she starts saying things to her husband. So this is the reason why majority of women, the majority in Jahannam will be women. After seeing what will be in Jannah and what will be in Jahannam, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is then taken above to Sidratul Muntaha. Now when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reaches Sidratul Muntaha, after meeting with all the different Anbiya Kiram and the different in the different heavens, Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam says to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, my journey was to bring you till here. Now I cannot go with you. You are on your own. So now the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked Jibreel, why can you not go further? What did Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam say? He said that if I go further, then I will be destroyed. My wings will burn. There are different narrations. But the simple answer was that I cannot go further than this. And the reason why Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam was saying this is that because Jibreel alayhi salam was a creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And according to the philosophers, mumkinul wujud are the creations of Allah. Those who are mumkinul wujud, we are possible to exist. And we need time and space. And because Sidratul Muntaha was the end of time and the end of space, I cannot go further. Because there is no time and there is no space. So he said that I cannot exist beyond this point. Because there is La Maka and La Zama. But the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he went past Sidratul Muntaha. He went into La Zama, La Maka. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took with him the clothing that he was wearing. So even the material that was on his blessed body, even that material went into La Zama and La Maka. Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala, regarding this he says, ke mumkin mein ye qudrat kaha? Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if I say you are mumkinul wujud, then how is it possible that you left time and space? Ke mumkin mein ye qudrat kaha? Wajib mein abdiyat kaha? Hairahu ye bhi hai khata, ye bhi nahi, wo bhi nahi. Ke Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is only wajibul wujud who is free from time and space. That is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I can't call you wajib because you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How can I call you mumkin when you are going beyond time and space? To Ala Hazrat radiallahu anhu himself says, ke hairahu, I am astonished. This is where my intellect stops. I cannot understand this. This is what you call a mu'jiza. People say that how did it happen then? The simple answer is ke khirat se keh do ke sar jhuka le, guma se guzre guzarne wale. Khirat se keh do, khirat yani aql. خیرت سے کہہ دو کہ سر جھکا لے, گما سے گزرے گزرنے والے, پرے ہے یا خود جہت کے لالے, کسے بتائے کدھر گئے تھے. This was the شان of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, after Sidratul Muntaha, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is on his own. And there what happens, Allah knows best. Allah and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam know what's best. Now it says in some narrations that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would be in La Makkah and La Zamah. This was the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam the ru'yah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In a hadith it says that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, ke Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked me, ke O my beloved, what are the angels talking about in the heavens? So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I do not know what they are talking about. You know better, O Allah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he says, ke I felt the noor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala بَيْنَ كَتِفَيَّ, between my shoulders. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed his nur on my chest. فَوَجَدْتُ بَرْدَهَا, I felt the coolness of that nur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَعَلِمْتُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, and I came to know everything that was in the skies, and I came to know everything that was on the earth. And I came to know every single thing. Whilst I was there with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my nigah, my sight was in the skies and on the earth. And that is why Allah Hazrat radiallahu ta'ala says, ke dile farsh par hai, sare arsh par hai teri guzar, sare arsh par hai teri guzar, dile farsh par hai teri nazar, malakut o mulk mein koi shay nahi woh jo tujh pe aya na ho. Yani Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was given all that knowledge in the night of Mi'raj. Up to the extent ke Ala Hazrat radiallahu ta'ala says ke aur koi ghaib kya, tum se niha ho bhala, jab na khuda hi chupa tum pe karoro durud. When Sayyidina Abu Zar Ghifari radiallahu ta'ala was asked ke did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam see Allah, then he said ke naam, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself said, قَالَ كَرَعَيْتُ رَبِّي, I saw Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sayyiduna Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala was asked, he also said, ke the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ke I saw Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In one narration, it says the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, نُورَانِيٌّ أُرَاهُ, it was such a nurani sight, full of brightness and light, I was shown Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sayyiduna Hasan Basri radiallahu ta'ala, when he was asked, he would kana yahlif, he would swear by Allah, and he would say, I swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw Allah on the night of Mi'raj. When somebody came to Sayyiduna Ahmad, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal radiallahu ta'ala, and he said, ke O Imam, did Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the night of Mi'raj? So Sayyiduna Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal radiallahu ta'ala was leaning back. He was leaning and he came forward and he said, Ra'ah, 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 until he ran out of breath. Ke Muhammad saw Allah, he saw Allah, he saw Allah, he saw Allah, he saw Allah. He kept saying it to say that, why do you not keep asking this? Without doubt, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the night of Mi'raj. Now it is the destiny of different people that some people believe that which Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal radiallahu ta'ala believed, and some people believe something that an Imam of today is saying. So everybody has their own destiny, and I am grateful, and we should be grateful that alhamdulillah, we are on the aqidah of Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala, and we believe in the Aimmah Aslaf, and therefore we believe that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he saw Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the night of Mi'raj. Then he came back. When he came back, he met Sayyiduna Musa alayhi salam. And we've all heard of this. Sayyiduna Musa alayhi salam asked, what did you bring? He said, I have brought 50 obligatory salah for my ummah. Sayyiduna Musa alayhi salam said, go back, your ummah will not pray that much. Go back and reduce the amount. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi salam went back. And this is mentioned in Bukhari Sharif. This is in Bukhari Sharif. It's not a weak hadith. He went back. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then reduced it, came back. In one narration it says it was reduced 5 by 5. In one narration it says 10 by 10 were reduced, until 5 were left. Then Sayyiduna Musa alayhi salam said, ke O Habib Allah, O beloved of Allah, go and reduce them even more, because your ummah will not even fulfill the 5 times salah. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that now I feel ashamed, I feel shameful that Allah has given me a gift and I am saying that I can't accept this gift, I will only accept this much because I don't want more than that, ma'adallah. I am shameful, I will not go back. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left it to 5. Now a question occurs that if the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had all the knowledge, then why did he not ask for 5 from before? The simple answer to that is Allah has all the knowledge, then why did Allah not give 5 from before? So if that goes against the knowledge of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then ma'azallah, it goes against the knowledge of Allah. The reason why this happened, this going up and down happened, Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala gives an answer. That these are the wisdoms of Allah. Allah is the most wise. It was because Allah wanted to show to Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, ke O Musa, you wanted to come and see me, but I told you, you would not be able to see me, but here is my Habib Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For him the doors are open. Ke qasr-e dana tak kiski rasai, jaate ye hai, aate ye hai. He can go and come whenever he wants. He can go and see me and come back and come and see me again. For him the ru'ya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so simple. Ke jaate ye hai, aate ye hai. And Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam was receiving so much pleasure every time he looked into the eye of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and saw the jalwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he would send him back, go again. So when he came back with a fresh jalwa, Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam was receiving all that pleasure and joy by looking into the eyes of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came back from the night of Mi'raj and the morning came. Now this all happened in a split second. Time had stopped for this night of Mi'raj. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave all these mu'jizat in one night. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's Aamul Huzn, the year of sorrow, had become the most beautiful and joyful moments for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in the morning, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went outside the Kaaba with some of the Sahaba kiram and he began telling the people of the night of Mi'raj. Okay, Allah graced me with this night. And the Sahaba kiram sat down and they all listened to the waqi'at of Mi'raj. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, at that time when he came and he listened and he said, Sadaqta, 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 Ya Rasulullah, you are speaking the truth, you are speaking the truth. When the people of Makkah, when they were saying that he is lying, he's never been to Masjid Aqsa, how is it possible? Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq was verifying everything the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. The Sahaba kiram said that if we believe in the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just because you have said, and we believe in the existence of Jannah and the fire of hell, just because you have said, then why would we reject that you went to Mi'raj and saw Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a split second of the night and went to Masjid Aqsa and came back? Why would we not believe that? The people of Makkah, they refused. They said that he hasn't been to Masjid Aqsa, let's test him. So they brought some people who had traveled to Masjid Aqsa. And they asked questions, okay, how many doors does Masjid Aqsa have? How many windows does Masjid Aqsa have? What does it look like? What's the roof like? What are the walls like? How many sides does it have? And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that I gave the answers correctly because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given in my knowledge the whole picture of Masjid Aqsa in front of me. It was as though the whole Masjid Aqsa was taken from Baytul Maqdis and brought here into Makkah in front of me. And I was looking and giving them answers that this is how many doors, this is how many windows, this is what the walls are like. Then they said that there are people from Makkah who are coming back from Masjid Aqsa at this point. You must have met them on the way. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave details of each qafla, each group of travelers from Makkah who were going and who were coming back. He even told them that there was one qafla whose camel went missing. And when their camel went missing, their food and drink also went missing. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave them all this information. When these groups of people came, they confirmed that yes, he is right. Once our camel went missing, our food also went missing, and then we found our camel. Once the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam regarding one qafla said, when the sun will rise or when the sun will set, one of the two, that qafla will coming to Makkah Mukarramah based on the distance I saw them at. At that time, the people of Makkah went to see the sun setting on the hillside. And they were watching that the sun was there, it was about to set. But the qafla had not yet come. So Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, according to them, Muhammad was going to be proven wrong. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stopped the sun. The sun would not move, the sun would not set until that qafla would enter Makkah Mukarramah. And the sun stayed there for a long period. All the people saw that the sun was not setting. The sun only set when that qafla entered into Makkah Mukarramah. And that showed to the people of Makkah that this man, Sayyidina Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is a true messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had split the moon into two, yet these people had still not accepted that he was the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Even though they knew he was, due to their arrogance, they didn't accept. Now, they came to a situation whereby the people of Makkah saw that the Muslims were increasing rapidly. People from a place called Yathrib, which was later going to become Madinatul Nabi, had come and done bayat on the hand of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is known as Bayat-e-Uqba. One happened, and then the year after, another Bayat-e-Uqba happened. These people came from Madinah Munawwara in the time of the Hajj of the Mushrikeen, where they used to come to the Kaaba. Where Masjid-e-Uqba is today, that's where the Bayat-e-Uqba happened in Makkah Mukarramah. These people from Medina came and they invited the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that you come to Medina Munawwara, we will look after you, we will protect you, we will give you safety, we will fight with you, we will stand by you, up to the extent that no, we have lived by the sword and we die by the sword. We are ready to fight the whole of the Arab world just for you, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Come to Medina Munawwara. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at that time gave permission to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to allow the Muslims to do hijrah to Medina. But for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the permission had not yet come. So he stayed back in Makkah Mukarramah. And the rest of the Sahaba ikram went, besides a few. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam held Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq, Sayyidina Ali Murtaza radiallahu anhu back and said, you don't go until Allah gives me permission to do hijrah. Because a prophet cannot do hijrah until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him permission. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was waiting for permission. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, he bought two camels that were very strong and very fast. And he placed them near his house and he fed them good food to make sure they were strong and fast. He didn't tell Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but he brought them with the intention that how I wish when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam does hijrah, he asks me that, oh Abu Bakr, you come with me and I will give him these two camels. So Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala also said that he used to stay awake all night just behind the door of his house, waiting, ready with his weapons, with his camels ready. That how do I know when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will come and say, come, Allah has given permission to do hijrah. So Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq spent all these nights awake, ready for waiting for the command of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And at that time, the people of Makkah got together and they plotted to kill Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And they had now made a plan that we will kill Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the way they made that plan is that every single leader of each tribe will together attack the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In that way, the Bani Hashim will not be able to attack all of us. If we are all together, we will all take the blame together. So in that situation, we will kill Muhammad ma'adallah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and then the Bani Hashim will not be able to fight us all together. So what we'll do is we'll just pay the diyat or the qisas for the blood of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and in that way we will end the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and his propagation. What happens after that, inshallah, we shall hear tomorrow. And this has been the seerah from the beginning of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's life, from his birth until his Meccan life, the Makki seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And inshallah tomorrow we will complete the Makki seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whereby the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will reach Medina Munawwara. Jazakumullahu khaira. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
يا حبيبي لا تحزن يا حبيبي لا تحزن. Allah, 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 All